Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12 is where we're going to pick up our study here tonight. And as we have seen throughout this latter part of the book of Daniel, the last six chapters, the first six chapters of Daniel are historical. The last six chapters of Daniel are prophetical. It's a part of Daniel, chapter 7 through 12, that encompass what is known as Daniel's prophecy. And the Lord reveals to us things to come through his beloved prophet, Daniel, in this portion of the scripture. And so, in this final prophetic vision God gave to Daniel, it's the fourth of the prophetic visions God gave to Daniel throughout these last seven or six chapters of Daniel. And the fourth prophetic vision is contained in chapters 10, 11, and 12, if you remember with me. 10 was the introduction to the vision, just telling us the events that preceded God giving this vision to Daniel. And if you remember, there was actually angelic warfare that was involved in getting this particular vision to Daniel. Just incredible. God pulls back that veil that is concealed to us of the spiritual world and shows us angels and demons fighting and how that spiritual warfare is actually taking place. Then we jumped into chapter 11 and began to look at the actual prophecy that God began to reveal to Daniel in Daniel chapter 11. And again, this prophecy is very much connected to the same truth that God had already revealed. Every prophecy, though, reveals a little bit more about what was coming next. And it started with the vision God gave to Nebuchadnezzar with the statue that represented the four different empires that were going to rise on the world scene. And then we jumped ahead to the future visions, which we've already studied. But now we got to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, God began to unfold more specific details about what was coming in the nation of Persia. The rise and fall of the nation of Persia and what was coming in the nation of Greece as well, with the rise and fall of the kingdom of Greece and that significant figure that was going to rise up from the kingdom of Greece, Antiochus Epiphanes, and how he's going to persecute the people of God, and how he was a picture of someone who was far worse, the Antichrist. And it's interesting that these final prophecies that God revealed to Daniel, they all had to deal specifically with a certain group of people. And everyone who was mentioned in those prophecies were centered around a certain group of people. Who do you think that group of people was? Israel. Israel. There were many other world empires during this time period of history. Why did God feel the need to reveal these to us in the scripture? Because these were the nations that concerned his chosen people, Israel. And that's why God chose to do so. And so now we've made our way to the end of this fourth vision that's contained for us in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel. And as we study this chapter of scripture, we're going to give an overview of what is taking place and again give some helpful applications along the way that I think will be very, very helpful to us. But let's begin by reading a few verses together in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, "In that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." As we look at this final chapter of Daniel, we're going to discover what God meant when he mentions to us here the time of the end. And let's pray together and ask God to speak to our hearts as we study it. Lord, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word. And as we look at these major truths that you show us in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 12, I pray that you would still our hearts, open our minds, help us to understand the truth of the word by the ministry of your spirit. I pray that you give me power to communicate the truth in an effective way and in a way that will certainly help the lives of these believers who have taken the time to be here tonight. And I pray that we'd study the scriptures together. and that your Spirit would help give application that could really help us to grow and give us hope and peace in our hearts in the midst of the times we live in as we look towards this end time. And it really is a theme of hope for us that know you. And we're grateful for that. And I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, as we look at this time of the end, there are several themes that we're going to notice. First off, I want you to note down that it will be a time of retribution. It will be a time of retribution. Now, let's see if I can get this thing to work. I hooked up a remote to that computer, and I'm not sure that it's going to work for me or not, but I'm going to try to turn it on and see if it will. But it's going to be a time of retribution. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 1 with me. And notice those first couple of words, chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says there, at that time. And at that time. Read that out loud with me. And at that time. What time is the Lord talking to us about here? He's obviously talking about a specific time. And if you actually go back in context to chapter 11, and I believe it's verse number 35, we'll notice exactly what time it was. Chapter 11 and verse number 35. Let's look at this on the screen here. Go back one, Zach. We're fighting against each other. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even, and read this part with me, to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time, or a time appointed. So at that time, chapter 12, verse 1, is talking about, in context, the time of the end. We would call this the tribulation period today, or Daniel's 70th week that we studied in Daniel chapter 9. There's lots of names that we have for it, but the tribulation is the most common name that we have for this particular time period of history. And so the tribulation period, really, we looked at this briefly last week, but the end of chapter 11 into the beginning of chapter 12, it's all one vision, all right? The chapter titles weren't there when it was originally written. The verse breakdown was not originally there when Daniel originally wrote this passage. It was all one flowing prophecy, one flowing thought. And so we're going to start really in Daniel chapter number 11 and look at what the Bible has to tell us about this great tribulation period. Now, it's interesting, Jesus also referenced this same time period as still being future and not being past, as some people would try to make it. Some people try to say that what happened during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled Daniel's prophecy. The problem with that is Jesus walked this earth after all those events took place, and he was still speaking of the Great Tribulation as a future event that was still coming. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "For then," Jesus speaking here, he said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, doesn't that sound a lot like what Daniel said in Daniel 12 and verse 1? A time of trouble unlike anything this world has ever seen. Here's Jesus saying it. All these years later, they're talking about the same time period. It's the time period of the tribulation. So I want us to think about this from the reference of Daniel's prophecy. I want to give you a little bit of a breakdown of what Daniel, God revealed through Daniel to us about this tribulation time period. The first thing we see in chapter 11 and verse 36 is that the rise of the Antichrist is how it's going to begin. Now, this isn't in the text, but comparing other prophetic scriptures with what we learn here, we understand that the starting point of the tribulation period is when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And again, all of this latter prophecy is centered around the nation of Israel, because it's centric to God's whole plan for this world. And when that peace treaty is signed with the people of Israel, the tribulation period is going to begin, and the rise of the Antichrist is what we see on display starting in verse number 36. Let's look at it briefly. Verse 36, the Bible says, "And the king shall do according to his will, And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a god be a world war. Now, I've called it World War III. Maybe we'll have another world war before then. I don't know. But you can be sure there's another world war coming during the tribulation. And notice what the Bible says in verse 43. The Bible says, and at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over, and he shall enter also into the glorious land. What do you think that's talking about? The Holy Land, Jerusalem, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He'll control the nations. He'll control the finances of the nations. A one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion. He's going to dominate the religious scene as well. All these things are talked to us about in other places of the scripture. And how he's going to gain that power is, first, he's going to come in by flattery. And after a seeming tragedy takes place in the world, and then when some of the nations don't like the fact that one person is getting so much power, they're going to try to stand up against him. Some people believe that what is being talked about here in the prophecy of Daniel is exactly what Ezekiel prophesied about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. With the war of the nations. All of these things taking place, the Antichrist will annihilate the opposition and become the dominator of the world during the early part of the tribulation. The Bible tells us all these things will happen. The third thing we begin to see will take place is that Satan, in the midst of this tribulation period, about the 3.5 year mark, will be cast out of heaven. You say, is Satan in heaven? Well, go back and read the book of Job sometime. First couple chapters of Job, one of the things you see that Satan has the ability to do right now is to go up before the presence of God and accuse the brethren. He goes up there and God talks with him and says, have you considered my servant Job? How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a war taking place in the heavens today. Make no mistake about it. That war will be over when God says it's over. And Satan will be cast down. That's what we read about in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Look at it with me. We're skipping ahead a little bit here, but I'm trying to follow this in the right chronology. The Bible says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. By the way, we looked at this before. Michael is the archangel whom God has appointed to look after the people of Israel. Now we see that very clearly demonstrated here and in other places throughout Israel's history. There was always an angel that God would send to protect his people when they needed protecting. And I believe it was Michael, that great prince who stands for the children of thy people. The Bible says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, what is the Bible talking about when the Bible mentions to us here, Michael's going to stand up? Well, later on in the book of Revelation, We find further information God reveals to us about this particular moment. Revelation chapter number 12 and verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And the dragon's a reference to Satan. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. I love the language used here. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels, or his demons as we call them today, were cast out with him. Now this is the same scene Daniel saying was going to happen. In the midst of the time of tribulation, this is exactly what's going to happen to Satan and his minions. They're going to be cast out. They're going to be given no more ability to execute spiritual warfare in the heavens, and their attention will be turned to the earth. And this is what the Bible says later in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Praise God, he's done. All right, we're going to be rejoicing. Meanwhile, Satan's going to be down on this earth during the tribulation. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And he knows his days are numbered by that point. And this is how the unfolding of that tribulation period is going to take place. And I find it interesting, during that time, Satan in his wrath will do exactly what we saw Antiochus Epiphanes did when he got defeated by Rome. What did he do? He went to Jerusalem and started trying to annihilate the holy people of God, Israel. And when the Antichrist, when Satan is cast out of heaven, he's going to use the power of the Antichrist, who he will be behind, and he is going to try to wipe out the people of Israel. But I love what we find at the end of Daniel in verse number 1. It says, "And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." God will deliver his people. He will preserve his saints through that time of trouble, that time of difficulty. There's so much testament to that in the book of Revelation that we don't have time to expound here tonight. But I just want to mention this because I think it's interesting. He mentions something here that I had not thought of before. He mentions everyone that shall be found written in the book. I looked at that. And then I looked at every other reference to the book. What's the book? Well, it's an interesting conversation. Some people say it's the book of life. There are some rather strange opinions about the book. But most people, I think, would agree that it's talking about a book that's mentioned all the way first in Exodus and all the way to the book of Revelation. The Bible says that there are many books that will be opened at the end, but there's one book in particular that has the names of the redeemed written down in them, and that's the book of life. The trouble I had with it is I always thought, we sing the hymn, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." But every time I see a reference to the book in the Bible, this book of life, it's always mentioning the names having been written, not being written. In fact, I couldn't find one reference of a name being written down in this book. To the contrary, all I could find is that there were names being blotted out of the book. You say, "Well, what's that talking about?" Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm giving you something so you can go study it yourself, okay? Here's what I've come to with a little bit of study I've been able to commit to this. I'm not standing definitively on this. I just think it's interesting, and it's something that we should dig into and study a little bit more. But the Bible seems to indicate that all names are written down in the book. And those who do not receive Christ, trust Christ, one day will be blotted out. Because God is not willing that any should what, church? But that all should come to repentance. Now, I can't stand definitively on that, but I think it's interesting. Those found written in the book, they will be delivered. Those true believers in the Lord. And I believe that group will not just be Jews. I believe there will be some Gentiles from every tribe, tongue, and nation who will trust Christ as their Savior during the tribulation. And the Bible makes that very clear. But the question that you really should consider is this. Will your name be found written in the book? God wants it to be. Or will it be blotted out? Because you never put your faith in Christ. You haven't gotten that settled. You need to get it settled today. Amen? You need to get it settled today. So going on to the next part of the tribulation here, we see the rise of the Antichrist, World War III. We see Satan cast out of heaven. And then the next thing that Daniel tells us about in verse 44 is Armageddon. Look at verse 44. You're still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
This is interesting stuff. All right? I know this is a lot of information coming at you. But hang with me here. Verse 44. It says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him," the Antichrist. "Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him." Tidings out of the east and out of the north are going to trouble him. Some people believe that in comparing what Daniel teaches with what Revelation teaches, and parts of Ezekiel, that the tidings out of the east and the north will be an attack waged against the empire of the Antichrist from Russia and China. I'm sure you've heard things about this. We can't speak definitively about who the kingdom of the south and who the kingdom of the north is going to be. No more than we can speak definitively of who the tidings of the east and of the north are speaking of either. But the Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen, and when it comes time for us to know what it's talking about, we'll know. But the Antichrist is going to hear, and there's going to be a gathering of the nations together for another world war. But in the midst of that gathering together, something's going to happen no one expects. Jesus comes again in the clouds. And at that point, all the nations of the world who were going to fight now join together in coalition against the King of Kings. And Jesus, we're going to be with him, riding on white horses. We won't fight. We won't even be equipped with weapons, armor, none of it. We won't need it. Because Jesus will speak a word, the battle's done. The nations that defy the Lord will be defeated at that day. And so the fifth thing we see as Daniel describes it is that the second coming of Christ will take place, which is alluded to at the end of verse 45 when it says, "Yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him." None of those other armies that'll be there, they won't be able to do him any good. They will all be defeated with just a word from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And so we see this time of retribution. The time of the end will be a time of retribution. Now, the second thing I want you to see that Daniel teaches us here in chapter 12 is that it will be a time of resurrection. Look at verse number 2 with me, if you would. Verse number 2, here's what the Bible says. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake," and read this with me, "some to everlasting life, and some to shame in everlasting contempt." Now, the Bible here speaks about a resurrection. I'll be honest, when it comes to prophetic truth, there's a whole lot of weird teaching. And there's a whole lot of weird teaching that centers around this particular verse of Scripture as well. And it's weird to me, just all the speculation and all the things that people try to insert in the Scripture that obviously isn't there. And from comparing different passages of Scripture, it's difficult to try to bring out of this that the Bible's talking about a national resurrection of Israel, for example, to me. I can't justify that. Other places of Scripture talk about that, but I don't believe that's what's being talked about here. Now, good men disagree with me. But obviously, when we think about the subject of resurrection, the Bible does clearly teach us that in the end, there are going to be some definitive resurrections. What are they? Well, the first one I want you to think about with me is the premillennial resurrection. We will often refer to this as the rapture of the church that's going to take place. And many passages of Scripture talk to us about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Boy, this is that first resurrection that is spoken to us about in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 6. The Bible tells us there, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him," how long? 1,000 years. The Bible is very specific about these things, and those who are believers will be a part of this first resurrection. Now, of course, there's debate among different camps of Christianity about when this resurrection is exactly going to take place. I believe a literal interpretation of Scripture demands that for the church is going to be gone during the tribulation, and the rapture of the church is going to take place before the tribulation does take place. Good people disagree with me on that, but I believe that is what the Bible teaches. And so we see, first off, the premillennial resurrection, but we see, secondly, and I don't know if this is the technical term for it, but this is what I'm going to call it, the postmillennial resurrection. See, there are going to be many people who still remain unresurrected, dead, to their works, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what?
Second.
The second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God loves mankind, but he hates sin. And he hates sin so much that those who are sinners will not die once, they'll die twice. Die physically, and they'll die spiritually in hell for all of eternity. By the way, God's given us a way for us not to just be born once, but to be born twice.
Amen.
So we don't have to experience a second death. Praise God for it. But those who refuse to accept the gift of salvation that the Lord offers to us will experience this judgment the Bible talks to us about here. Those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. When you're resurrected, what will your fate be? Will you stand before the Lord, cleansed of your sin? Will you stand before God, having to give account for your sins? That's the most important question any man will ever answer. When you die, where are you going? The only way you can know is through Jesus. Need to get it settled. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Sometimes we can convince ourselves that we're saved. Just keep putting off the conviction of the Holy Spirit, putting it off, putting it off. And only knock for so long. You need to listen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, the admonition of Scripture is today is the day of salvation. And so we see that this time of the end, it will be a time of whatever I said. Resurrection. There you go. Brain fart. All right. Now here's what it is next. A time of revelation. Putting all the same letters at the beginning, it doesn't help me out actually at all. So, a time of revelation. Verses 3 and 4. Let's notice first verse 3. This is what the Bible says. It says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Well, what's the Bible talking about here? I want us to think about the actual Hebrew words that are used, and this may be hard for you to see on the screen. The first phrase that's used is "they that be wise." It's a Hebrew word, sakal, and it's speaking of those that have insight or comprehension here. Those that are wise, they have an understanding, in other words, of the scripture. My picture with this word in my mind immediately goes to a lighthouse, sending out the light of the truth. And the Bible says that that those who have an understanding of God's truth, their responsibility is going to be to shine the truth. Now, many Bible commentators who have studied this far more deeply than I have, they believe this is talking about the Jewish people who are going to be saved and begin to go all over the world declaring the gospel during the time of the tribulation. You've probably heard of them before, the 144,000. All right? Now, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses have tried to steal that, but we're going to stick with what the Bible says. This is going to be a group of people who get saved during the tribulation and go forward throughout all the earth and declare the glorious gospel of Christ, and many thousands of people will be saved. And praise God for it. And many believe that that's what this verse is talking about, those who shine forth the truth. But let's just apply it here. Listen, whether it is just talking about them or not, we can certainly apply it to ourselves and say, we who know the truth of God's word, it's our responsibility to shine the truth of God's word out into this dark world who desperately needs to hear it. You say, how do you know that? Well, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's our job, church. While we have time, it's our job to shine the light of the gospel to people who desperately need to hear it. Lest they face the consequences of the things that we're studying in this very chapter. Boy, what a wonderful truth for us to think about. Going on to verse number 4. We see the Bible tells us, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, conceal them, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." God literally told Daniel to do something here. He said, close it up and seal it. It's not time for us to open these things yet. Now, later on, when God gave revelation prophecy to Dan, or to John, he told John to do just the opposite. Don't close it. Don't seal it. Because the time's at hand. It's going to happen anytime. What's being emphasized here is that in Daniel's day, these things were not imminent. But we're living in a time when the Lord wants us to be ready. Because these things could happen anytime. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again for those of you that didn't hear. At any given moment, this world is 7 years from being over. Based on what the scripture teaches us. And it's an incredible thing to think about. And literally, there's nothing that needs to happen still before Jesus comes. Listen, the time is imminent. It could happen at any moment. And so he says to Daniel at this point to shut it up and to seal it up until the time of the end. It's come. We're there now. And praise God for it. There's only one person who has the right to break the seals. Revelation 5, you know who it is. It's the Lord. And when he's good and ready, he will. When that time comes, he will. Now, it's interesting to me, the last part of this verse is a subject of much controversy. It says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, a lot of people have taken this to mean that, well, travel is going to increase significantly. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And technology and educational advancement is going to run rampant at the time of the end. If that is what the scripture is telling us, then we can't deny we're there right now, aren't we? The last 100 years, we've seen a technology explosion unlike anything this world has ever experienced before. I'll be honest, as I've studied the text, I don't believe that's actually what the scripture is talking about here. But many good people would disagree with me. So what is it talking about here? Well, in context, the Bible is talking about individuals who have knowledge of the truth of God's word who begin to shine out that truth. And the Bible says in the time of the end that many will run to and fro. And I believe what it's talking about is it gives the indication of their eyes running to and fro. In fact, there's several instances in the Bible about the eyes of the Lord running to and fro, using the same phrase of thought. All right? But I believe it's talking about the eyes of individuals running to and fro on the prophecy of Scripture that in Daniel's day had been sealed up. They were going to begin to open up the truth of Daniel and Revelation and things of such delight and begin to run their eyes to and fro on it, and their knowledge will become increased. And isn't it interesting that also in the time we live in, there has been such an emphasis on prophetic teaching and such a rise in interest on prophetic teaching. Now, some of you haven't caught on to that yet, okay? I know that. And it's difficult to wrap your mind around these things. But the point is, either way, we are seeing both of those interpretations taking place in the day and time that we're living in. A rise in an interest in prophetic teaching and a rise in technological advancement as well. And so we see that the Bible indicates that this time of the end is going to be a time of revelation as the truth of God begins to shine forth and become more clear to the people who live on this earth. And because we have the book of Revelation now as a companion to the book of Daniel, we can understand a lot more of these things because it's the right time. The time is at hand. And that's the indication that we need to understand. Now, moving on. What is the time of the end going to be? The fourth thing I want you to see is that it'll be a time of resolution. A time of resolution. And as we think about these things, look at verse number... Let's start in verse number 5 for context. The Bible says, "And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river." These were angels, more messengers coming down. "And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." Well, who do we discover that was in chapter 10? Anybody remember? This glorious person that's described in chapter 10? I believe it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? This one man clothed in the priestly garments, the linen which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? In verse number 7, look at this. This is what the Bible says in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. Now, a lot of times, even in American culture, when we make a vow, we'll put our hand on the Bible and we'll raise our right hand. It was very similar in Jewish culture. But he's not just raising his right hand. He's raising his left hand too. This is a double vow, a double seal on what he's about to say. He raises both hands into the air. This is the Lord. And his word stands. They asked how long it was going to be. He raises his right hand and his left hand into heaven and swear by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And so here's the question. How long is this going to last? That's what that one angel asked to the other angel. Or that's what one of the angels asked to the Lord who was in Daniel's vision here. How long until all these things are going to be fulfilled? And the answer the Lord gave is a time, times, and a half. Now, if you think about that time, singular, 1 year, times, 2 more years, and a half. You add that all together, how long is that? 3.5 years. And what's being spoken of about here is the end of the Great Tribulation. It's a 7-year tribulation. And the last part of it, the last 3.5 years of that tribulation, is what the Lord is referring to. From the moment the abomination of desolation is sacrificed by the Antichrist until the end, is going to be this 3.5 years. Now, it's interesting to me, and I'll be honest, I don't have an answer to this. And I've asked a lot of good people about this. This is one of those big question marks when it comes to biblical prophecy that we don't understand yet. We'll understand when God wants us to understand. But it's interesting that a Jewish year is about 360 days as compared to our modern calendar year. And if you take 360 days and times that by 3.5 years, this time times and a half, what you come up with is 1,260 days. As you read on later in this chapter, I want you to see something here. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that makes desolate set up. There's that midpoint of the tribulation. The Antichrist breaks his treaty with Israel and offers the abomination of desolation to defy the people of Israel. The Bible says, from that time there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Now, there are some questions we have based on what God revealed to Daniel in this prophecy. One of the questions is, if it's 3.5 years, as the Lord spoke in the vision as he stood over the waters, that's 1,260 days. The Bible says at the end of Daniel that something is going to happen significant. The end of all these things is going to take place at 1,290 days. That gives an extra 30 days after what we presume the battle of Armageddon takes place and the Lord takes dominance over the earth. Well, what's going to happen in the extra 30 days? All I can tell you is speculation. Because if God wanted us to know, he would have told us very clearly in the Bible. Some people think that that's going to be how long it takes to clean up after the battle and to set up the millennial kingdom. Some people think that's why. But then the Bible says that there's going to be a particular blessed group of people in verse 12 who, if they make it to the 1,335 days, they'll be particularly blessed. Now, that's 75 days after the 3.5 years are over. I'll be entirely honest with you. I have no idea what's significant about that. But I know it's going to be good, whatever it is. All right? But the Lord saw fit to reveal it. And I think that sometimes God might have just given us some things just to think about. But boy, Daniel wanted to know more about all this. And he said so in verse number 8. Daniel said, and I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Tell me more. I don't get it. Same thing that some of us are left wondering as we study Daniel's prophecy. In verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Some things God has chosen to make very clear to us in his word. Those are the things we should emphasize on. Those are the things we should build our life on. And some things God has chosen to disclose. It's not time for us to know them. Now we don't want to make our life all about the uncertainties when we have plenty of certainties to make our life all about. And where God's word is clear, we need to make sure that we're living in obedience to that. Where God's word is unclear, those are areas where we can disagree on, we can have debate on, but we shouldn't certainly focus our life, our whole life mission on those things. And so God tells Daniel, go on, I'm not going to tell you. All right? It's like my kids around Christmas time, what'd you get me? Go on, I ain't going to tell you. Until the time comes, you open those presents. All right? And God, he doesn't want us to know yet. When it's time for us to know, we'll know. All right. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And here's the thing. People who reject the Lord, they're not going to understand these things. People who reject to put their faith in the truth of God's word, 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about them. They're going to deny the truth of Bible prophecy. But in the face of all that, in 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And they get to this point. And he's still hearing messages from God. And he's still responding the same way he did when he was a teenage boy. Tell me more. I want to learn more. I love that about Daniel. And God has to calm him down and say, Daniel, you're not going to stay alive long enough to get the answer you're wanting right now. You go on. You're going to rest. You're going to die. And you're going to rest. You don't worry. You'll stand in your place when the end comes. You can be sure of that. And God reassured Daniel that though he wasn't going to understand on this side of eternity, when he got on that side, he would. And boy, that's a reassurance to all of us. There's a lot that we may not understand about these truths. And, you know, some of you have told me as we've studied this, went over my head. I get it. There's a lot of it that goes over my head too. But boy, isn't it reassuring to know that in the end, we know what we're going to end up at, and we know who wins. We know whose side we're on. I know we come back to these applications every time, but it is such a challenging and helpful thing. And I want to leave you with this reference from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, I give you the same admonition that the Lord gave to Daniel at the end of his prophecy. You need to be sober. You need to gird up the loins of your mind and realize our time is short. And you need to live with hope in your heart because Jesus is coming again. So long as we have breath and ability on this side of eternity, it's time to live for the Lord today. When our life on this earth is done, we'll go to a place of rest until the Lord fulfills his purpose for this earth. But until that day comes, we need to work, for the night is coming when man can work no more. Amen? Daniel, the book ends abruptly. It just ends with this prophecy. We know from some additional accounts of Scripture, at least we think we know from some additional accounts of Scripture what may have happened to Daniel. Well, what we do know is that Daniel passed away. Just with that one assurance. Daniel, you're not going to get it all done. There's others who's coming after you. You're going to rest. But you'll be there in your place at the end. And I love that picture. And it's a great, great reminder and a great challenge for us. So what a faithful life Daniel's life was for us to pattern our lives after. A faithful man who never lost his passion for God's word, who never lost his commitment to stand for God's truth. And these are things that all of us can learn for. And so I hope that this study from Daniel 12 has been challenging for us. But two things I'll remind you of before we conclude, and that is this. One, is your name going to be found written in that book? If you are lost, I want to challenge you, compel you, beg you with everything I have in me, get it settled today. During this invitation, as God is speaking to your heart. And if you are saved, you need to get serious and not lose your hope. Because Jesus is coming again. And we can serve him today. We need to live for him today while we still have time.